Rick Gamley, this is NHPR News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. It's been a big week for news here in the Granite State, with a mayoral race heating up in the Queen City, a major vote on statewide Medicaid expansion, and New Hampshire's delegation to Capitol Hill weighing in on the government shutdown and debt ceiling debate.
All the flaws that those of us believe that do exist in Obamacare, that was all overshadowed by the fact that the government was shut down.
A healthy debate of the issues is what makes our country great, but when folks cross this line, that's just a line that unfortunately puts a nasty light on the whole political process.
The 100-plus page report includes a majority-backed plan that calls for expanding Medicaid eligibility to individuals earning up to about $15,000 a year. Any newly eligible people who currently have health insurance through their jobs would stay on those plans.
We wouldn't wait for the request to come in. We would be responsive to the concerns of the residents and the concerns of the taxpayers who say violent crimes have increased annually over the last 4 years. What are we going to do?
That was a unanimous vote. It was a vision that I brought forward, and it happened. It happened on time and under budget.
This was a classic case of not leaving any rock unturned, and we looked at every possible way to find out who would have written these messages.
That was New Hampshire Republican U.S. Senator Kelly Ayotte. State GOP spokesman Matt Slater on vandalism at party headquarters this week. NHPR health reporter Todd Bookman. Manchester mayoral candidates Patrick Arnold and Ted Gatsis. And Concord Police Chief John Duval on the resolution of a case involving racist graffiti against refugees. One of the biggest stories this week involved the Granite State on Capitol Hill. While all four members of our delegation spoke out on the lengthening shutdown and the looming possibility of a U.S. default, it was Senator Ayotte who received the most national attention, with Ayotte telling her fellow Republicans that it was time for a reality check and to reopen the government. It's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup today in The Exchange, and let's hear from you. We want your thoughts about the headlines of the week. Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email us, exchange@nhpr.org, or post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. Our guests for this week's Roundup are Norma Love, State House reporter for the Associated Press. And Norma, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Laura.
Also with us, Dean Spiliotis, civic scholar in the School of Arts and Sciences at Southern New Hampshire University, author of the website nhpoliticalcapital.com. And Dean, welcome back. Good to see you, too.
Hi. Good morning, Laura.
Well, both of you, let's talk about this shutdown that finally ended this week and this debt ceiling debate that we heard all week long. New Hampshire's junior Senator Kelly Ayotte, Dean Spiliotis, made national headlines this week. Now, why so much attention on Senator Ayotte?
Well, she's actually been getting a little bit of attention for several weeks now. She has been quoted in the press on and off saying that while she strongly supports the repeal of Obamacare, she did not believe it should be tied to a government shutdown. And then we had the situation a week or so ago in the Republican Senate caucus in which she apparently, this is a closed meeting, but it trickled out to the press, she apparently asked Ted Cruz, senator from Texas, who was one of the sort of leaders of this linking of Obamacare and spending, you know, what his end game was. And he didn't really have an answer. And she apparently scolded him and got a lot of attention for that as well. More recently,
she kind of said, what's your end game? Yeah,
exactly.
What's your plan?
Exactly. And he didn't have one. And apparently her initial scolding kind of opened up the floodgates and he got sort of a collective flogging from the caucus. More recently, Susan Collins, a Republican senator from Maine, and several other senators had been working on a compromise deal. Kelly Ayotte had been very vocal, encouraging them to do so. She's been getting a lot of attention for kind of speaking out on the need to decouple Obamacare from spending. I mean, it's been fascinating for me to watch her over the past 2 years, the extent to which she has kind of inserted herself as a very visible member of the Republican caucus in the Senate. A number of issues we've talked about over the last year. She is sort of in the middle in some fashion, and it's the case as well for the shutdown. So she's very quickly becoming a very kind of savvy operator in the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, what do you think, Norma? Is this a tough position for Senator Ayotte to take, to say, I don't like the Affordable Care Act at all, but we need to keep the government open?
Well, I think that there are some people who feel that Senator Ayotte is a rising star. She's very conservative, and she's very principled. But there was one analyst that got me chuckling who said, you know, if people think that there was a winner in this, that's like saying that someone was the sexiest person in a room full of clowns. I mean, no one won. And there was no way to win by taking Ted Cruz's position, because I can still see this woman on national TV who was in tears. Her business was going to close because she was one of the small businesses around, I think, the Grand Canyon or one of the parks. And they had no customers at one of their prime seasons. There was no winning in this. And watching Washington play these games, I think the public at large is really not going to forget. And what they did was they pushed it to next winter when the conservatives are saying, we'll do it all again. So I think what she did was she said, no, this isn't the way. And I think that was very smart.
Dean. Yeah, we should keep in mind, you know, the electoral aspect of this. You know, there have been a number of Republicans, particularly in the House, who have been very concerned about voting on this shutdown because they're concerned that, you know, if they sort of side with Obama or Boehner and don't take a sufficiently conservative line, they're going to be primaried in their next election from the right.
Right. We've heard about that this morning, actually.
You look at Kelly Ayotte, it's relatively unlikely, even at this point, that she would be primaried from the right in New Hampshire. I mean, it's certainly possible, but she doesn't seem to have that issue within our state. So I think that actually makes it a little bit easier for her to take that position. And she's certainly, you know, for whatever the winners and losers are, she's once again managed to find a high visibility position in the middle of a high profile issue.
Well, I think the whole issue of whether you're going to be primaried is what really, really angers the public. And it's all a game, it seems, to the public. And that is what they are really not going to like when the election comes around.
Well, Senator Ayotte isn't up for re-election until 2016, but there is a race, Norma, for U.S. Senate next year when Jeanne Shaheen, the Democrat, is up for re-election. And that race got a new candidate this week, Norma. Karen Testerman said, yep, she's jumping in. Now remind us who she is and what she brings.
Karen Testerman is a conservative who founded Cornerstone Action, which is a think tank kind of conservative group that opposes things like gay marriage and is very much into the social realm of politics in New Hampshire. I think she's going to have a hard time, even though she's going up against another conservative, Jim Rubens, in the primary.
He's a different kind of conservative, though.
He's more of a libertarian conservative, and Jim is somebody who's had elected office. He was in the state Senate. He's also run before. Karen has run before and not gotten much traction. So I think she put out that she would like 5,000 people to sign up on in support of her, and she didn't get the number and signed up anyway to run or said she was going to run.
Yeah, go ahead, Dean.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good sign that her candidacy might be problematic for a statewide office. She did say there's 5,000 signatures on an online position and I'll run, and she didn't get the signatures, but she's running anyway. You know, the thing to keep in mind, and she is, as Norma said, she's a social conservative with a splash of libertarianism mixed in, and she ran for governor in 2010 in the GOP primary, and she finished third. Republicans just ran in 2012 a well-established social conservative, Avin LaMontagne, for governor, and he lost by 12 points. So the idea that she's going to be kind of a serious competitor for the Republican nomination, I'm not convinced. I know Jim Rubens is happy because this now gives him someone that he can kind of set himself off against. They are a little bit different, so they kind of stake out different corners of the party. They can now have televised debates in all probability, so it's good for him. I don't think she's going to have a big impact on the race.
I'm not convinced there isn't someone else going to jump in.
It's certainly possible, yeah.
Well, the name Charlie Bass keeps mentioned. Coming up.
But I think even though Shaheen is formidable, I think that the party is probably still looking for someone who has a little bit more, like Charlie Bass, who's got some more history to them that's more moderate. These two are fairly unknown in the sense of the greater New Hampshire electorate.
All right. I want to turn from this statewide race coming up next year to a local race happening just in a couple weeks. There's a mayoral race going on in the Queen City of Manchester. Joining us now with more on that is Mark Hayward, reporter and columnist with the New Hampshire Union Leader and Sunday News. Hi, Mark. Thanks for taking the time.
Good morning, Laura.
Well, just remind us real quick, Mark, who are the candidates for mayor in Manchester?
Candidates are the incumbent, Ted Gatzis. He's going for his third term. He's a successful, self-made businessman, a city native. He's being challenged by Patrick Arnold, an up-and-coming alderman who's a new father. He's much younger than the current mayor, and he's bringing that new face and a little bit of energy into the campaign.
And from what I understand, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, this is supposedly nonpartisan, even though Mayor Gatsas, anyway, is well known as a Republican. Is that right?
That's correct. And Patrick Arnold is a Democrat, and he's getting support from Democratic sympathizers and operatives, and the mayor is getting it from the Republican Party.
So nonpartisan in name only, Mark.
In name only.
Yeah. So what are some of the issues in this race? I mean, I know education, for example, has been a big one in Manchester.
Correct. They had their first debate this week, and both of them agreed that the top two issues are crime and education. They're really not that far apart. Sometimes they try to package their thoughts different ways, but they both are against crime. They both want better schools. The Patrick Arnold is pushing for more police officers. Earlier this week, the Board of Mayor and Aldermen and some of his allies said they wanted to put together a plan for more police officers. The mayor said he wants more police officers, but he wants it to be part of the budget. And you'll see back and forth them trying to score little points these next few weeks.
All right. Well, Mark, we'll keep an eye on it. Thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Mark Haywood, reporter and columnist with the New Hampshire Union Leader and Sunday News. Dean Spiliotis, one more quick political story. The state GOP headquarters in Concord had graffiti scrawled on it this week. Now, what does that say?
This is the state GOP headquarters in Concord. Sprayed in green spray paint on the side of the building was WWJD, Healthcare for Everyone. And as we were just discussing before the show, it's what would Jesus do is the likelihood of what WWJD stands for. Republicans were outraged. That is property damage. It's vandalism. There was also this little subplot in the story in which a spokesperson for Martha Fuller Clark, Keith McRae, Martha Fuller Clark is the Democratic Party vice chair. You know, he went on Twitter and said it was hilarious. I'm not sure what about it is hilarious, but he took it down and apologized. These are sort of the small kind of nasty pitch battles that we're going to see. And it kind of mirrors the it's interesting, just as a real quick aside, the Concord Monitor recently had an editorial in which they kind of paired the rhetoric from Democrats and Republicans in the state. It really is quite remarkable how vitriolic it is for an off-year election. And this is just, I think, symptomatic of that, an unfortunate story. And hopefully it won't happen again.
All right. Well, we will catch up on a lot more of the stories of this past week in our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup in just a few minutes. We need to check in now, though, with our fall membership drive.
And you count on NHPR and NPR to be your window to the world and all across New Hampshire. We count on your contributions to keep that window open. Please give now at 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org. Good morning. It's our fall fun drive. I'm Sarah Ashworth, and I'm here with Michael Brinley.
The goal this hour, $3,700. You can make a difference right now by picking up that phone or going online, making a contribution for whatever works for your budget, whatever works for how much you listen to your favorite radio station, NHPR. These goals are extremely important to help us stay on track to meet our overall goal for this membership drive, and the money you give now will go directly to help pay for the exchange on NHPR. You're listening to the Friday News Roundup right now, so why not call right now? Give us a call at 1-888-805-6477 or go online at nhpr.org.
You know, radio at its very most basic level, it's just a conversation between two people. And often as a listener, you are that fly on the wall who gets to listen to that really interesting conversation that's happening. And it's exciting to be that fly on the wall when the conversation is as good as the ones that we bring you on NHPR. And when that conversation is a subject that's near and dear to your heart and you want to weigh in on it, that's why we have a program like The Exchange. You as a listener, you can email in, you can go on Facebook, you can tweet us a comment, or you can call in and leave your comment with the show. And that's what makes The Exchange a great conversation between you and people all around the state and the country and the world. And you get to be a part of it, and you can support that program right now by calling 1-888-805-6477. You can also go online, make a pledge in just a couple of minutes at nhpr.org.
You're probably thinking, I can donate anytime during this fall fun drive, but you need to donate right now, and here's why. You have about 40 minutes left to call in to get that Apple gift card, $500 gift card drawing, which ends at 10 o'clock. Call right now and contribute at 1-888-805-6477. 805-6477 or give us a call at nhpr.org. And again, if you call right now and contribute, not only do you get in on that $500 Apple gift card drawing, but all the other drawings in this fall fund drive. So several reasons to call right now and donate. So again, pick up the phone at 1-888-805-6477.
And it is so important that you call right now because listener support makes up just more than 41% of the total revenue for NHPR. Getting more members, just 1% or 2% more of the audience, would make a huge difference in our ability to serve you even better and keep bringing you programs like The Exchange or Word of Mouth or Marketplace or Morning Edition or The Diane Rehm Show. And I could go on and on and on. You help us bring that list of programs to you. Do it this morning. Pick up the phone. Call 1-888-805-6477. And again, it's really easy. If you're looking at the news online or you're checking your email at work, go to nhpr.org and make a pledge.
It's Friday. You got a lot on your plate. We understand that. But how about taking 2 minutes of that time today to donate to your favorite radio station, the one you rely on for an unbiased news from the Granite State, New Hampshire Public Radio? Pick up the phone at 1-888-805-6477. Just provide your name, your contact info, how much you'd like to give, and which credit card you'd like to use. That financial support becomes the stories and programs that you will continue to hear over the next year. Again, that go online at nhpr.org. You can donate there. It just takes 2 minutes of your time.
And a lot of people have told us, you may feel the same way, that once you start listening to NHPR, there is no going back. Many of us even have trouble remembering what our lives were like without the stimulating conversations and thought-provoking news stories that you hear every day on NHPR. And these stories, these conversations, it's all made possible on NHPR by the support of listeners like you. Pick up the phone, call 1-888-805-6477 or go online at nhpr.org.
The clock is ticking away for you to get in on that drawing for the $500 Apple gift card. That ends at 10 o'clock, so you got about 37 minutes left to go there. You have plenty of time, but now is the time to do it, because if you don't, you're going to run out of time before that 10 o'clock deadline hits. So pick up the phone and give us a call at 1-888-805-6477. Think of all the things you could buy with that. Maybe an iPad mini, maybe a new iPhone, maybe 500 songs for $500. Whatever you want to do with it, that's up to you, but you're not going to get it if you don't call right now. So go online at nhpr.org or give us a call, 1-888-805-6477.
And you have just about 40 minutes to get in that drawing. So call now or go online to nhpr.org. And thanks.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and support also comes to us from the Clean Bedroom Organic Mattress and Bedding Showroom in Kittery, Maine, helping you create eco-friendly sleep environments, also on the web at thecleanbedroom.com. Ampax World Mutual Fund's a leader in sustainable investing, integrating environmental, social, and governance factors into investment analysis and decision-making. PaxWorld.com for tomorrow. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup, and we're covering some of the big stories that made headlines this week, including U.S. Senator Kelly Ayotte's national visibility on the government shutdown, to the Medicaid Commission's conclusion this week, to one graffiti case, and another one opened, and another one closed. Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And I want to follow up with all of you on a story that did make big news earlier in the week, and that's Medicaid, the commission that's been meeting for a couple months now on whether New Hampshire should expand Medicaid or not, as envisioned under the Affordable Care Act, but the choice is up to the state. Finally did release its recommendation, and Todd Bookman is with us now for a little help on this story. He's NHPR's health reporter. And Todd, thanks for being here. And what happened this week? It was a big deal.
Right. So the commission ran up against its October 15th deadline. This, you recall, was worked out in the budget agreements. Earlier this year, they created a special commission to study Medicaid. They started, I think it was back in, might have been late June or July. We went through this really arduous process of near weekly meetings, lots of hearings, lots of testimony, lots of reports. And this 9-member commission finally sort of coalesced around a plan that got some bipartisan support. The report was finally approved on the 15th, and it creates what some are calling a New Hampshire solution. There's roughly 50,000 or so people that will that could receive Medicaid coverage through the expansion as envisioned under the Affordable Care Act. This New Hampshire plan tries to rely on private insurance in some way. Of those 50,000 or so, an estimated 10 to 15,000 right now have employer-sponsored coverage, private insurance. And so the goal is to try to keep those people on those private plans. That saves the state money. It's also good for hospitals because it's the higher reimbursement rate. So the plan moving forward, the plan that's been recommended to move forward, relies on this private option. The rest of the enrollees would get sort of put into traditional Medicaid, which is now a managed Medicaid model, so they'd have to pick one of these three MCOs. The plan, though, as envisioned, still faces a lot of hurdles. First, it's got to get through both the House and the Senate. It also would need a federal waiver because you'd be requiring people with private insurance to stay on those plans with Medicaid picking up any out-of-pocket costs. That's something that the federal government would need to approve.
That's not how most states have done it. They've done the more traditional route of, you know, the government basically pays for everything. Is that right, Tom?
Right. Of roughly half the states that have decided to move forward with sort of expansion as envisioned under the ACA, They would go sort of more the traditional route. This is a sort of a quasi-expansion that a number of other states are thinking about. States like Arkansas, Ohio, Pennsylvania are all playing with these other models. So it's something that I think the federal government, what we're hearing is that they will likely approve a plan like this. They want to see states expand Medicaid and are likely willing to be flexible on an issue like this.
Norma, you attended a lot of those hearings, and as Todd said, they wrapped up this week. What's the big takeaway for you having covered this?
Well, they gave me this huge book that's kind of like a book. It's like a doorstop. but it may end up being a doorstop because right now the votes are 12-12 in the Senate, and that's the key. You have to have some Republican support there. The House, which is controlled by Democrats, and Democratic Governor Maggie Hassan support expanding. But you have to have at least a couple of Republicans, if not more, to make this go. And the Republican leadership in the Senate wants more. They want more of the Arkansas model. And the problem is in Arkansas, when the federal government gave them a waiver and said, okay, you can try this demonstration project for a few years, they had more what we call qualified health plans in their exchange. We only have Anthem. So we would probably run into that hurdle right up the bat. One thought was that they could get the three managed care companies that are doing regular Medicaid, see if they wouldn't offer a commercial product in the exchange.
Boy, they'd have to do that quickly, Norma.
Well, they'd also have to get a permission from the federal government because the window for that is closed till 2015 when a lot of people think Harvard Pilgrim also might come in. So you have a lot of things going on, and what are the possibilities? It's not clear. I think the Republicans in the Senate leadership feel that if Obama wants this badly enough, it'll happen, and it'll happen quicker than the 12 to 18 months that a lot of people talked about some of these waivers. I mean, Arkansas, I think they presented it, and it was approved 30 to 60 days later. So it might not – if this comes to pass, and we have a vote in the Senate and House on November 14th, 21st, I think it is, on something, the chances are it'll give Hassan a month to go to Washington and say, look, we need this. Will it come to be? I don't know. I mean, there's still no Senate, quote-unquote, plan out there that I've seen, but they definitely want more private options than are in what the commission recommended.
Yeah, Norm, I'm glad you mentioned November, because Todd, I wanted to ask you. So that's sort of the next piece in this, right? There's going to be a lot of activity in the state legislature on this issue in November.
Right. So Governor Hassan went before the executive council this week, asked and got approval for a special legislative session. Kicks off November 7th. We'll see some sort of legislation produced from this commission's report. I expect it will not be identical to the commission's report, at least on the Senate side. We'll see how the bill sort of shapes up and moves back and forth. Senate President Chuck Moore said there'll likely be a public hearing that next week, so the week of sometime the 12th, 13th, 14th, we'll see a public hearing on this matter. The session will run through November 21st, as Norma mentioned, so we should see some sort of resolution, either expanding or not expanding, by the 21st. I think what we may see in the Senate is perhaps more kill switches. The only sort of kill switch right now worked into the plan is that if the promise made by the federal government to fund Medicaid at 90% of cost past 2020, if that ever declined, there's an out.
The state didn't fulfill their end
of
the bargain.
The state could get out. But the minority of the commission this summer wanted other things. They wanted caps. They wanted caps on the number of enrollees in case that 50,000 number is way low. They wanted to see a cap. They also wanted a potential cap on the dollars spent, state dollars spent. So the majority did reject those ideas in the commission, but we may see ideas like that come back up in the GOP held Senate.
Go ahead, Norma.
Just one final note on this before we move on, and that is that you will know probably by November 7th if we have a deal, because that's
even before this special session starts.
We may know before that's when it starts, on November 7th. And if there's a deal, there's going to be legislation filed, whether they announce it ahead of time or not. If you don't have key players signed onto that bill, it's not going to happen.
All right. Spoken like someone who's covered the legislature for years. Todd Buchman, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Laura.
That's Todd Buchman, NHPR's health reporter, talking about Medicaid expansion and the deadline that was met this week. Our other guests on the roundup this hour are Norma Love, Statehouse reporter for the Associated Press, and Dean Spiliotis, civic scholar in the School of Arts and Sciences at Southern New Hampshire University, author of the website nhpoliticalcapital.com. The number for you to join us with your questions and concords about some of the headlines that caught your attention this week, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. Again, the number, 1-800-892-6477. And Dean, I wanted to ask you about a more local story that did make statewide headlines this week. Some racist graffiti in Concord, written on the homes of refugees. Some pretty threatening words. This happened about 2 years ago, so Concord police have been working on this for a long time. What did they announce this week?
Yeah, well, they announced that they actually were able to arrest a suspect in the crime. This is a very interesting story. You know, as people may know, in recent years, we've had a number of refugees settle in places like Concord and Nashua and Manchester in particular from other parts of the world, particularly Africa. And in this case, there were three families, refugees, resettled in the south end of Concord. And in September of 2011, they awoke to find racist, hate-filled graffiti scrawled on their houses. There really were no major developments in the case up until now, over 2 years later, in which the authorities were able to link the handwriting on the graffiti to the handwriting on a gun permit. So on a hunch, one of the detectives looked through 1,500 handgun permits and 1,500 and found the letter B, the sort of unique letter B on the gun permit that matched scrawl on the graffiti. It turns out they arrested Raymond Stevens, a 42-year-old resident of Pembroke. He owns a tattoo parlor in Nashua. They had his eye on him. He had been known for some other involvement in white supremacist groups. And now that they sort of have done some additional investigation based on the handwriting, he does have a history of these sorts of episodes. So they feel like they got their person. You know, I think that the nice ending to this story is that at the time, I remember that the community really turned out for these families. There was a big show of support among South End residents for these refugee families. One of the three families has since moved out of the state as a result of this episode, but the others apparently are still there. So, you know, it's nice to see in the community that people were able to sort of rally around these families, and that sometimes, you know, good old-fashioned detective work and smart thinking really pays off.
Well, in fairness, the man charged says he didn't do it, that the handwriting doesn't match the vandalism, and that it was too extreme for him. He said, Norma Love, what's the danger of a bandwagon effect here, where people are so eager to solve something that they perhaps go too quickly or step over, or the media grabs a hold of it or whatever?
Well, I think it's going to, if this detective's gone through 1,500 pieces of handwriting to sample and you then run it through the crime labs, it's not done just willy-nilly. Years and years ago when I was a very young person, I liked to do handwriting analysis, and people's handwriting is unique. It's almost like a fingerprint sometimes. But they will have to prove that. And then I think they've also done some investigating with his people that he works with and
former girlfriend.
Former girlfriend.
A lot of stuff on the web that he's written. Also, there's all sorts of other evidence kind of swirling around this handwriting. But, yeah, obviously he's innocent until proven guilty. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and just touching on what you said, Dean Spiliotis, one more thing. Why was this case so important, not just to the police, but to the broader Concord community? You were starting to touch on it, but I'd love a little bit more. This idea that, you know, the community rallied around these families and started this whole love your neighbor movement here in Concord.
Absolutely. And, you know, you see these kinds of episodes happen all around the country. You see refugees, you know, refugees from Iraq, refugees from Nepal, all different parts of the world resettled in communities where it might not be the best kind of demographic or ethnic fit. And so it was really important to the community in Concord to show support for these families. You know, we've talked on the roundup a number of times about issues of resettlement. The Manchester had asked for a moratorium of 1 year. There was some concern about resettlement, I think, of Bhutanese refugees to Nashua. So, you know, there are always sort of issues when you're incorporating new populations into a community. And I think this is an example of where it was great to see the families, and not only families, but state officials and others rally around these families and say this is not indicative of New Hampshire or the broader community. You know, New Hampshire sometimes gets a rap for being, you know, 96% white and kind of unrepresentative of the country. So this was a nice story.
Well, and in the Conway area, there's been another crime story that we've been following here at NHPR. FBI and local police still looking for a 15-year-old girl, Abigail Hernandez, for almost a week now. For any parent, this is the most chilling story. It gives you a stomachache to hear it. And we just deeply hope for her family's sake that there's a happy ending. $20,000 reward recently announced for information that helps resolve that case. So we've been following that story at NHPR. One more story I wanted to get to real quickly before the break. And Norma, love to you. New Hampshire Governor Maggie Hassan has proclaimed the week of November 18th through 22nd Anti-Bullying Week here in New Hampshire, the first of its kind. Now, what's the motivation there?
Well, we've had a law on the books for a while that requires school districts to have policies. I think probably there's a recognition of bullying. There have been instances where you've had parents complain about their child being bullied. But I didn't get a sense from the proclamation that we had the statistics for New Hampshire, and I don't know whether that's because we don't have the staff at any of the places that keep track of it, or they don't want to highlight that. But national statistics don't really draw down into what's going on in New Hampshire. I didn't get a sense of what's going on in New Hampshire.
Well, after the statistics in this proclamation, Governor Hassan says, again, November 18th through 22nd is Anti-Bullying Week in the state of New Hampshire, asking all citizens, schools, businesses, organizations to observe the week with appropriate activities and educational events that promote bullying awareness, prevention, and intervention. So there you have it there. We have a couple more stories to follow up on after a very short break. Let's check in now, though, with our fall membership drive.
You listen to NPR on NHPR to hear the news and to experience the world. You listen to the Friday News Roundup on The Exchange because you want to know what's going on in your state. But these programs are only made possible through the generosity of our listener contributors like you. This is our fall fund drive. Please give now at 1-888-805-6477 or go online at nhpr.org so we can keep those experiences coming. Here's Sarah Ashworth with more.
And good morning. We still have 3,100. Oh, no. We've just gotten the number's gone down. $2,900 left to raise in the next 20 minutes or so. This is your chance to support a program like The Exchange and the Friday News Roundup. And these hourly goals are so important, and they help us stay on track to meet the overall goal for this membership drive. So please become a sustaining member now at nhpr.org or by calling 1-888-805-6477.
The Exchange covers topics as diverse as our listeners. You just heard a conversation about Medicaid expansion here in New Hampshire. From politics to the economy, education to healthcare, Laura shares your curiosity about the world. And every day she asks you to share your curiosity with her, because she knows hers aren't the only questions that matter. So why not contribute to that kind of programming? Why not put that money where your mouth is? So go to 1-888-805-6477 or go online at nhpr.org.
And the best reason to make your pledge right now is that if you make it in the next 20 minutes or so, you will be entered to win a $500 Apple gift card. But you have to make your pledge by 10 this morning. If you win that card, that's enough to get an iPad mini or a new iPhone or maybe put it towards a new MacBook that you've had your eye on. If you're the lucky winner, you can pick the Apple gear of your choice. So please support NHPR Listening by becoming a sustaining member and get a chance to win that $500 Apple gift card. Again, the deadline is 10 o'clock this morning, so go to nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477.
NHPR pays NPR about $172 for each hour of Morning Edition and All Things Considered that we broadcast. Think about how much of an hour can you pay for. Maybe it's $50 a month. Maybe it's that $172 a month that helps pay for those hours of Morning Edition and All Things Considered. It's a small amount to pay for the many hours of listening that you do. So go online and contribute there at very easy, 2 minutes of your time at nhpr.org, or why not give us a call at 1-888-805-6477.
And again, the best reason to make your pledge right now is that when you do so, in the next 38 minutes or so, you will be entered to win that $500 Apple gift card. You have to make your pledge by 10 o'clock this morning. And the other great thing is that when you do, you're going to be entered into this drawing for the $500 Apple gift card, but you're also going to be entered into all of the other drawings during this fund drive. That is a great opportunity, but you have to act now. You have to call before 10 o'clock. So call 1-888-805-6477 or make that pledge at nhpr.org.
Stop for just a moment and think about the voices you hear on NHPR. Laura Kanoi, Virginia Prescott, Rick Ganley. These voices are the voices of reason, the voices of understanding. Help ensure that these voices can continue to be heard on NHPR. Why not give us a call right now at 1-888-805-6477 or give us a call, go online at nhpr.org.
And we have about $2,800 left to raise this hour. Again, it's so important to meet these goals because it keeps us on track for the whole drive. And so you can help us do it this morning. You can also show how much you love and support The Exchange and the Friday News Roundup. It's been a really important and popular program that we've added to The Exchange lineup. You can support that kind of program right now. And our goal is now at $2,700 in the next 16 minutes or so. So make your pledge now. Go to nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477.
Calls are coming in right now. Why not join them? They're not only helping us reach that hourly goal, $2,700, which is totally doable, but they're getting in on that $500 Apple gift card drawing. If you call right now, not only do you help your station, the station you're listening to right now that you rely on for updated information and news in the Granite State, but you're also getting in on that fantastic drawing and all the other drawings that are going to happen throughout this fall fund drive. So give us a call right now at 1-888-805-6477 or go online at nhpr.org.
Join your friends and neighbors. The phones are lighting up. We have just $2,600 left to raise by 10 o'clock. Get in that drawing now for that $500 Apple gift card. You have to act now at nhpr.org or 1-888-805-6477.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members, and support also comes to us from New England College School of Graduate and Professional Studies, now in the heart of Concord, offering an MBA beginning October 21st, nec.edu. And Mascoma Savings Bank, serving the people and needs of the Upper Connecticut River Valley since 1899, online at mascomabank.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoi. Today in The Exchange, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup. We're following up on some of the major stories that made news here in the Granite State this week, and we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. Joining me for the roundup, Norma Love, Statehouse reporter for the Associated Press, and Dean Spiliotis, civic scholar in the School of Arts and Sciences at Southern New Hampshire University, author of the website nhpoliticalcapital.com. Joining us now from Nashua for a little help on some Nashua stories that made statewide headlines this week is Jonathan Van Fleet. He's managing editor for content at the Telegraph of Nashua. Jonathan, thanks a lot for your time.
No problem, Laura. Thank you.
Well, two stories I wanted to ask you about in your area. First, the story of a convenience store clerk with a great name, Bear Cothran. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah.
Why did Mr. Cothran make news? And not just state news, not just national news, but big state national news.
Sure. So he works third shift at a gas station in Nashua. Monday morning, about 3 a.m., he's doing his normal shift, and a man walks in with a knife and says, "Give me the money." Bear carries a firearm. He has a license to carry a concealed weapon, and he pulled out the gun, a Ruger, and pointed it at the man with the knife, and the robber fled. And so he thwarted the robbery and, you know, defended himself and defended the store. However, he violated the gas station's policy that prohibits employees from carrying weapons. So this got a lot of attention and obviously has picked up among gun rights groups and civil liberties groups and has really, really taken off and gotten Bear a lot of attention.
So he got fired then?
He did get fired. Yes, he lost his job just hours after the robbery.
And from what I understand, his local manager said, no, we want to keep this guy on. But it was the national company that said, nope, sorry, you violated the policy.
Yeah, and they even said that he was a great guy and he was a great employee, but they had to fire him for violating the policy. Yep.
So from what I understand, this got a huge reaction, especially in your area, Jonathan, that even maybe you had some problems on your website because you had so many people checking this story out.
Well, so we sell about 15,000 papers a day, newspapers, and this story got 50,000 hits in the first day that it was up. The NRA linked to it. Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, he said he would come to Nashua and give Bear an award for his heroics. So this thing really just kind of went viral.
Well, and from what I understand, Bear's had some job offers, so he'll end up all right.
Yes.
I want to ask you about another story in your area, Jonathan, if I could please. One that caught our attention, the cleanup of the Nashua River and mm-hmm. all the amazing stuff that was found at the bottom of the river. Now, just back up for a second. Why and how is the city cleaning up the river?
Okay, so there's a housing development there, and in order to develop this old mill building, they needed to make sure that it wasn't in jeopardy for flooding. And so there's a dam called the Jackson Falls Dam, and they wanted to put in bladders that would keep the water back in high storms, high water levels. And these bladders are called crest gates. And typically, people who look at dams would see like two plywood called flashboard. So they are replacing this flashboard system with a crest gate system. It takes a lot of work. They got to pour concrete, so they lowered the river in order to do this work.
They lowered the river to do the work, so it's not completely bone dry. There's a little bit of water there.
There is, and they've diverted it around. But by lowering the water, they've exposed all this stuff that's been laying underneath the river and in the muck of the riverbanks for decades, really.
Yeah, and what did they find? Enough to fill a museum, from what I've read.
Yes. So, in relation to our other story, they found a couple firearms, but nothing that has been in search of, you know, nothing that really has caught too many headlines. But the number one thing they have found is bicycles. Apparently, when people were done with their old bike in Nashua, they'd launch it into the Nashua River.
So what are they going to do with all this stuff? They found, more than 80 bicycles from what I read and some safes, I think, that were open and empty, by the way, so nobody found
yep.
any gold at the bottom of the river. What are they going to do with it all?
Well, they've been leaving it in a heap over in the industrial park, and some people have been interested to take a look and maybe pick through it. And as you said, yes, there hasn't been any jewels, anything found that is of great value, but it's historical. It's interesting. There's been some Bradley's shopping carts, a lot of metal. They are leaving some items along the river because they're afraid that stirring up too much of the muck would bring in toxins or release toxins into the river. So some of the stuff they're leaving kind of submerged into the muck. Most of the visible metal and garbage, they're removing it.
Wow. All right. Well, Jonathan, thank you very much. Interesting stuff there in Nashua.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Laura.
Jonathan Van Fleet, managing editor for content at The Telegraph of Nashua, catching us up on a couple stories in the Gate City that caught our attention this week. And Dean Spiliotis, getting back to the story about the convenience store clerk who was fired and now is getting all this national attention and praise from people like Rand Paul. What do you make of this?
Well, interesting that his nickname is Bear, because for me, this is the most recent Bearcat story. If you remember the story over the armored vehicle and the kind of in Concord and the national attention it got from different conservative groups, this is another one of those stories. It really kind of tapped into a vein of debate over over gun rights, over individual liberties, over the right to of self-protection, and basically being in the view of people who are upset about this being punished for protecting yourself. And Mr. Cothran has said that he was aware that in carrying the gun he was violating policy and he expected to be fired, and that's just how it was. So it is interesting the way this has been picked up nationally. One local newspaper, Riley, noted that four different Fox News outlets had been vying for interviews with the clerk. It's getting a lot of national attention. In fact, I've read some press that says, you know, Mr. Cothran is actually looking for a way to kind of get away from all this at this point. I mean, it really has. You know, these things go viral, and you find yourself swept up into the vortex of social media and national political debates. So we have these stories periodically that tap into larger debates. And as Bear himself noted, it's really not about him anymore. It's about this larger issue of Second Amendment rights and the right to protect yourself.
Well, Norma Love, next week, what will you be following in terms of especially some of the stories we've talked about this hour? What are you going to be tracking next week?
Well, I think next week I'm going to try and see who's doing what with the Medicaid expansion. Where are they sequestered trying to write this bill? Because obviously it's not going to be done in front of us. And if I can't find them, at least try and get a lead on where the negotiations over it are going.
So they should consider themselves warned then.
Warned.
You might not have want to have said that, Norma, because now they're going to be looking out for you. But it was interesting what you said. Before this special session on Medicaid opens, work will be done. The work's being done.
It's already
now.
They're already talking. I mean, we know it. We just don't know who's on which team and who's presenting. But it was clear at the end that you had Senate Republican leaders, you had the governor's side, you had the House. They're all going to have to put people together in a room somewhere and say, what exactly can we do? Is there a way to come out of this with a bipartisan bill?
All right. So Norma's going to be following up on Medicaid expansion, a big story. How about you, Dean? What are you going to be looking at?
Looking at the fallout of all the sort of congressional maneuvers over the shutdown of the debt ceiling on our congressional delegation. And I'll also be following the Medicaid story, because it is going to be interesting to see sort of the more political end of the story now ramp up now that the commission is done.
All right. Norma, good to see you. Thank you for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Laura.
Norma Love, State House reporter for the Associated Press. Dean Spiliotis, thanks for your time as always.
Sure. My pleasure, Laura. Thank you.
Dean Spiliotis, civic scholar in the School of Arts and Sciences at Southern New Hampshire University. His website, nhpoliticalcapital.com. Checking in very quickly now with our fall membership drive.
Hearing the Exchange is one of the reasons you value NHPR. You're listening to the Friday News Roundup, which helps you kind of take stock of what's going on in the Granite State over the past week. Help us keep the Exchange coming your way by giving to NHPR today. Listener contributions are NHPR's most important source of income. Please make your donation now online at nhpr.org or give us a call at 1-888-805-6477. It's our fall fun drive. I'm Michael Brinley. Here's with Sarah Ashworth.
And we are still looking to raise $1,800 in listener contributions in the next 6 minutes or so. Meeting this hour's goal is so important. Again, it helps us stay on track for the whole drive, and it ensures that we can continue to bring you programs like The Exchange and our Friday News Roundup in the months to come. Please give online now at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477.
That conversation you just heard on The Exchange, the Friday News Roundup, it's a great example of the kind of in-depth analysis you only hear on NHPR. Please take 2 minutes of your time right now to keep stuff like that on the radio. Keep that conversation on the radio. Your annual support makes that possible. Please make your contribution now by giving us a call at 1-888-805-6477, or why not go online? It's very easy to make a contribution there at nhpr.org.
And the very best reason to make your pledge right now is because when you do, you will be entered to win a 500 $100 Apple gift card. But the clock is ticking. If you're on the line or you start your pledge, you will be entered. But this drawing, you have to be entered by 10 o'clock this morning. That's about 4.5 minutes away from now. So now is the time to act. Pick up the phone and call or go on to nhpr.org. You could be entered to win. You will be entered to win that $500 Apple gift card. That's enough to get an iPad mini, the new iPhone, or maybe put it towards a new MacBook. If you're the lucky winner, you get to choose the Apple gear of your choice. So please support NHPR right now in the next 4 minutes. Get on the line, get online, and make your pledge and be entered at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477.
The Exchange is the only statewide call-in program in New Hampshire. It's the only statewide forum on the radio. Laura and the team bring in guests to discuss New Hampshire concerns and answer your questions. But that kind of a forum, that kind of team costs money. We're asking you to help contribute to that. So why not give us a call today at 1-888-805-6477. Support the Exchange by going online and contributing there at nhpr.org.
You are not the procrastinating type, or maybe you are, because there are 3.5 minutes left to go here before you can get to get entered in that Apple gift card drawing, that $500 Apple gift card. So maybe you are a procrastinator, but you still have time. You can be entered into this drawing. Again, about 3.5 minutes to make it into this drawing. Get your name in the hat. You could win that $500 Apple gift card. That would be a great prize to take home. You will also be entered in every drawing that happens the rest of this drive. So there's a great reason to make your pledge now at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477.
Broadcasting NPR News costs NHPR $344,000 each year. Now, we don't expect you to pay that entire bill, just what you can afford. Maybe that's $10 a month, $20 a month, maybe $50 a month as a sustainer. Whatever works for your budget, whatever you think, whatever value you place on NHPR, that's what we're asking you to contribute. So you can go online and make that contribution. If you're streaming online, listening, it's just a few clicks away at nhpr.org. Or why not pick up the phone and give us a call at 1-888-805-6477.
And we have about $1,700 left to raise this hour to stay on track with our goal. And you only have about 2.5 minutes to get in this drawing for a $500 Apple gift card. You have to act before 10 o'clock this morning. It counts if you're on the line, if you're on the phone, if you start your pledge online at NHPR, you will be entered. So you have to act quickly, though, at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477.
Just think about what you could do with that $500 Apple gift card. Think about it. You walk in the Apple store, $500 to spend. I think that's a pretty good deal. But again, you can't get in on that unless you enter in the next less than 2 minutes. You're running out of time. The clock is ticking away. Pick up the phone right now. You will get in that drawing by contributing to the station that you rely on. So it's a win-win. Not only does that money go to help programming like The Exchange, but you get entered into that drawing and all the other drawings in our fall fun drive. So why not pick up the phone right now and give us a call at 1-888-805-6477 or go online. It's very easy at nhpr.org.
And there are three people on the phone right now. Calls are coming in and more people are online as well. You have just a minute and a half or so to be entered to win this $500 Apple gift card. This would be a great prize to take home. You could save it. You could give it as a holiday gift, or you could head over to an Apple store yourself or go online and pick out a new iPad mini or a new iPhone. This would be a great prize to win. You have about a minute or so to be entered. Again, if you're on the line or on the phone, you will be counted in this drawing. But act now. Call 1-888-805-6477 or go to nhpr.org.
Now, the holidays are not too far away. You're thinking to yourself, what am I going to give? How about maybe that $500 Apple gift card? But you can't win that unless you contribute today and get entered into that drawing. You have less than a minute left to get in on that drawing. Time is running out. The clock is ticking away. So give right now at nhpr.org. You can also donate on our mobile app and also give us a call at 1-888-805-6477.
Just about 30 seconds to act here to get in on that drawing for the $500 Apple gift card. Remember, when you do make a pledge right now, you're in that drawing, but you're also in all the other drawings during the entire fund drive. So it's a great incentive to call right now, 1-888-805-6477, or go online and make a pledge at nhpr.org. And good luck.
The Diane Rehm Show next at 10 on NHPR, where support comes from UR members and from the Wealth Management Group at Merrimack County Savings Bank. Trust and Wealth Management Services provided by advisors committed to your financial needs at themerrimack.com. And New Hampshire Hospital for Children now offering pediatric neurology, gastroenterology, nephrology, pulmonary medicine, and integrative medicine. NH Hospital for Children.